Friends with brews?
Peter.
You can start talking anytime.
Well, I was waiting for my introduction.
Oh, well, I said Peter. That's the introduction you...
That's all I get these days. Well, I guess that's better than nothing.
It may not be the intro you want, but it's the intro you're going to get.
It's the intro that I need or that I deserve or
yes.
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, it has been a beat, so to speak, since you and I have recorded.
It's been a hot minute.
But you did get a couple of amazing stand-ins for me while I was gone, including the legendary John Chigi.
Right, but there was a Peter Sandwich. You were stuck in the middle there, because when you came back...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I know. You talked about the Peter Sandwich and my light brown roast and all those other things while I was gone. Yes, I caught all that. Thank you.
Wow. I sense a bitterness from someone.
Well, I was drinking a lot of bitter coffee down in Costa Rica, so, you know...
Yeah, I actually recorded both of those while you were gone, and the middle one with you after you came back, of course. If anybody listens, that'll be obvious. But then, because the timing was very close on the one that I did with you and the one I did with Clay, I went ahead and edited the one with you first.
Excellent. Well, shall we introduce our brews for the evening?
I think so. Let us talk about yours first.
Very well. Mine is a new one. I have not had it before. I just picked up a four-pack of this today. I was at the local Wegmans from probably my favorite brewery, Omegang Brewery, up in Cooperstown, New York. This is the Triple Fruited Triple.
Oh.
So it's Triply Fruited Triple. Limited release, orange, peach, mango, Belgian-style triple ale with natural flavors.
Okay, I don't. Can you say all that again?
All that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just did.
Say it all again.
Oh, the beer. Yes. Omegang Brewery, Triple Fruited Triple, limited release, orange, peach, mango, Belgian style triple ale with natural flavors. And it's a mere 9.0% alcohol. I have not had a beer this strong for some time, and I haven't had a beer this strong on the podcast for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just popped the... That was probably a less than impressive...
I don't know. I heard
pop.
It pretty good. I don't know what your recording got.
Well, hopefully it's the same, because they're both coming through the same... Theoretically coming through the same... microphone, but
that
anyway,
word theoretically
the
is very important. Okay, the pour.
Well, I did double check before I started recording, so
I trust you.
That doesn't mean... Well, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm about to drink beer.
It looks good. That's got a nice... okay, it's getting darker. Or your lights are shifting in and out. Yeah, that's pretty blonde looking.
Yeah, well, it's you know, it's a fruity, it's a triple style, so it's not as strong as a quadruple, but I mean, it's a 9%. I mean, once you get over 8%, I don't think it really matters much.
All right. Well, I have two brews. One is a Cova coffee again, and this one is called Nayo Ovale. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's Nayo Ovalle. And it is... Oh, now I got to go back to the link. Oh my God, I'm messing everything up here. Sorry. Sometimes having a Rectangle Pro can be disconcerting. Okay. It's from Guatemala, it says. Rich chocolatey, and yeah, just rich chocolatey. It says, well-rounded notes of orange, almond butter, and milk chocolate in the cup. Okay.
Okay.
That's number one. Here's my get drunk quick kit.
Your get drunk kit? Got it. But you're starting with a you're starting with a coffee, and then you're moving on to the get drunk afterwards? Or
no, I have both at the same time, you dummy.
Oh, call me dummy. I don't know what you're doing.
Okay. My second one is Cascade Lakes Brewing Salted Caramel Porter.
Interesting. I was looking at something very similar to that today, but I resisted the urge. I bought one new beer, and that's the one that I have now.
And I would love to tell you what percent it is, because you're all about the percent.
It's an important number.
Oh, my God. Not to these guys. Oh, wait. 5.8. This is a lightweight.
Oh, so you can just pound that.
Yeah, I can. I can drink the whole six pack.
I heard that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't do it near the mic, but here goes. Probably can't hear that. I can't even hear it.
I can hear that.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And it's brown as you would expect.
Yep. I would expect.
Did you go to Powell's Books while we were here? While you were here?
You took me there the first time.
While we were here.
Not the second time.
Peter, when I lived here.
When I was there, yes. The first time that I visited, yes. All right, are we ready? Are we toasting? Are we drinking yet?
Yeah,
can we drink?
Let's toast.
I want to drink. Let's go.
Kanpai, my buddy.
Dry up that cup.
Okay, now earlier you were telling me in messages that you desperately needed a beer. You were sounding really alky. I mean, you were...
Had a day.
Pleading for alcohol. Okay, but here's the thing. A person who is close to you, whose name I won't mention because I honestly can't recall, just had tooth surgery, dental surgery, major invasive ripping of bone out of other bone. And here you are whining about how much you need a beer.
And having a plate installed, too. Metal plate,
Oh,
too.
My God. Oh, yeah, wow. What happened to her?
I have no idea. I swear it wasn't my fault, Your Honor.
Okay, I was going to ask. I'm starting to get mighty suspicious here. That sounds horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So wow. That was the first I heard of it was yesterday. And, you know, it's like, I need dental surgery. I'm like, why don't you come and chill at my place while you recover from that? So, yeah. So she's doing that.
That's a major thing.
Yep. So she's doing that. And we're drinking beer. She can't drink beer right now. She's post-Novocaine, post-anesthesia, and on lots of Tylenol. So more beer for me.
Right. But who's going to stop her? Let's put it that way.
Well, she's not a huge beer drinker, but
oh,
I got to say, this is love at first sip. This is good.
Oh.
Yes, this triple is very nice.
Hey, why is everything that's super amazing a limited release? I mean, you would hope that limited releases are going to be super amazing. That's good. But then some of my favorite ones are like either seasonal and then they never come back again, or they're limited release. And it just chaps my hide.
All I can think is it's got to be something to do with marketing rather than supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can think of is back when my parents owned restaurants, I remember one of the things that was, you know, they would always run specials, right? So there's your regular menu and then here are the specials. My father's Greek spinach pie, spanakopita, was always on the special.
Wow.
It never was on the regular menu. You could always get it. There was never a day it wasn't available. It was always on the special. And someone asked once, and my mom said, no, as soon as you take it off the specials, it doesn't sell anymore.
Wow. You never told me. I never saw this side of your parents before. I didn't know about your dad's Greek spinach pie. The only thing I know about your dad is that he thinks his email is stored in the computer.
Right. He doesn't know how to use technology. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You've been holding out on me. You've been purposely trying to give me a really dark view of your parents.
Yep, I did. I left out the spinach pie all these years.
Yes. Oh, my God. Wow. Hmm. That should have been week one, dude.
That would have been great. The first email. I'm listening to Dual Boot Radio sending you.
Hi,
you know, your first
I'm
feedback.
A listener. My
Hi,
dad makes excellent
name,
spinach
I'm a listener.
Pie.
Exactly. My name's Peter. Short-time listener of the show. Just thought you should know my father makes excellent spinach pie. To which you doubtlessly would have responded somehow. I don't remember who your co-host was at that one.
That was Derek Fitzgerald, I think.
Derek, right. You would have said, Derek, I think he's hitting on you. Yeah. That's what you would have said.
Yep. Probably. By the way, I haven't talked to Derek in years and years and years. And I got a message from him on LinkedIn recently, and he said, call me back as soon as you can. And I said, okay. And then it's been like 3 weeks and I haven't done it yet. I need to get a hold of him.
Now, I forget. Was he a Monolith 2000?
He is a Monolith 3000.
He
worker,
is.
Yeah.
He
okay, still
so
is.
He
yeah.
was and is. So you
he
guys
was
have both
and
been
is,
there
yeah.
for a while. Got
yeah,
it.
He
okay.
started like, I don't know, a year and a half, maybe a couple years after me. And then... Anyway, he's in California at this point
okay.
in his life.
Okay.
He's been there for many, 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 many years.
Yep. Well, I guess we need a code name for my largest engagement, because I don't have one.
Oh.
For it. We need one. I have my largest engagement, but I don't have a code word. Like, I need a Monolith 3000.
Okay, right? Yeah. For a minute, I was not understanding that this was still work-related, and I was like, my head was spinning.
This is still
okay.
work. Well, how much beer have you had?
And then you said engagement, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh my God, Peter's engaged to more than one? Oh my, yeah. So
Peter's engaged to the beer he's drinking.
So maybe we should put that out as a, you know, that should be a challenge to the listeners. Just put that out as a competition. Who can name Peter's life?
But wouldn't it help? Here's the problem, though. They don't know what it is.
Right. But I was going to say, here are the parameters. Here are the parameters. So it's a large healthcare provider. I like to say, you know, it moves at the speed of a, well, it turns at the speed of a battleship.
You know? I would like to say that it has had intimate relations with the Chinese, not of its own initiation.
I don't think so. I think I've managed to keep that distance, keep that at arm's length. Yeah.
You've installed the proverbial steel network underwear?
We've done full metal long johns with them, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to admit to any close, intimate connections with them.
Oh, my God. Next thing you know, LastPass will be admitting that they were screwed up the wazoo.
Oh, my goodness. And I was going to say, have you been following that? Of course, I know you have been following
that. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
Oh, my God. Yes, I did resist until just a few months ago. I was like, look, everyone gets breached. Everyone, okay, yeah, it happens once or twice or three times. Okay, but it's how you handle. Oh, they have, okay, they've been mishandling these for, okay. So, yeah, but I have, at your advice and that of some of others, but primarily you, I have switched to 1Password. Uh-huh. Not only does the company have a better security track record, the app just works better than LastPass on, like, all platforms.
Yeah. This is one of those things where I can tell you, but you're not really going to know that. You're just going to think it's my preference.
Well, but the thing is, like, I had no baseline, and I thought LastPass, in general, was pretty good. But there were some shortcomings on the desktop side, but 1Password, and of course, now that the beer is starting to kick in, I can't tell you what these are, but 1Password has polished a couple of these edges off of LastPass that were just a little bit rough, and it's great.
Yeah. And the other thing about 1Password is they have a website which has first of all, they blog extensively. They also have a community forum where you can ask questions and stuff. And they're pretty open. You know, they don't have their source code there, but they're pretty open about their philosophy about security and how they do things. I mean, you can get enough answers from them to feel comfortable that at least these guys are really taking it seriously.
So here's the thing. I got hooked on LastPass years ago before they were purchased by LogMeIn.
Oh.
And I remember they had an interview with the developer at the time, the lead developer. I don't even know if he's still associated with them anymore. And I believe he was interviewed on Security Now. And I remember that, you know, Steve Gibson did this big review of this deep dive of the architecture, because there was a lot of questions like, you know, why should I trust my passwords to a cloud vault? And they had all the right answers. And I remember being really impressed by the answers back then.
That's the thing. That's why I say, even with 1Password, even though nothing has happened with them to date, though I believe in the team and I like the communications that they give, I'm not going to stand here and say nothing's ever going to happen to them, you know, because I can't. That's impossible to say.
Right.
I have an open mind about it.
Yeah, no, security, you have to look backwards. It's just like Steve Ballmer when he was at, you know, like Windows XP is going to be the most secure operating system ever.
Developers.
Developers, 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 developers.
What is he? Right? Doesn't he own a sports team now? Didn't they shuffle him off to own a sports team? He's like a sports team owner in Seattle, and I can't remember which one he owns.
I wanted to say, isn't he dead? But no, that was the other co-founder of Microsoft.
Oh, my God. No, he's the guy that owned the
yacht.
He was a part owner in a Portland Trailblazers or something like that. Paul Allen.
Paul Allen, thank you. He was the one I was thinking of, yes.
I'm only at 5.8%, so I'm okay. I can remember Paul Allen.
I'm 9%, and I'm feeling every one of them. So.
Oh, hey, what was your exercise today?
Today, I just did a light yoga class. So today is supposed to be a cross-training day or maybe jogging 20 or 30 minutes a day.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I taught a yin-yang hybrid yoga class.
Hey,
so that was fun.
I'll get into this topic in a minute, but as I was generating a transcript for episode one, we were talking about different types of yoga, and you were explaining to me some of the origins of some of them, and then we were talking about the evil bastardly men. But one of the things you were talking about was hot yoga, and I was like, gonna ask you, have you been back to hot yoga yet? Have you been naked in the street again since we last talked about hot yoga, Peter?
Thank you,
okay,
for
you
asking
me.
The... Yeah, I know, yeah, I'm gonna thank you. Have I stopped beating my wife? Right, got it. Oh, brother. No, I have not been naked in the street again since you asked about it.
Okay. Why was it the poor reviews last time?
It was cold outside. We've gone through a cold snap here in New England.
What show was that? I was swimming. Oh, that was Seinfeld. That's right.
Oh, I was in the pool.
Yeah, I was in the pool.
It was shrinkage. Shrinkage. That's what it was.
Okay, so since I vaguely hinted at it, I want to announce that the thing that I kept saying I was working on, which is transcripts for Friends with Brews, is now active.
Are you whispering and these transcripts?
No. Yes, I'm whispering them. And
no,
so
yes.
Basically, any episode that has a transcript currently available, you will see it when you're looking at the episode page, and next to the date and the running time, there will be a little transcript link. And right now, the only ones that have transcripts, also on the front page, underneath the intro paragraph, there's an episodes link, there's a transcripts link, and there's an RSS subscribe link. But there's only three transcripts right now, because I've only generated them for three episodes. Episode 1, which is why I remembered the hot yoga thing. Episode 22, which was the year of the mega pickle. And episode 26, which was the current live episode, which is the one with Clay. And the reason why I only have three so far is even though... So here's the... Should I go into the details? Yeah, so I'm using whisper.cpp, which does a really good job of generating them. But sometimes, based on when things are said, it'll have stuff in the same paragraph that might be from... Part of it from me, part of it from you. And in order to clean that up, it takes some time. And the other thing is, I think it was actually better when I was just outputting the raw text only. But at John Chidji's recommendation, or suggestion, or question, I'm also at the same time now outputting SRT file, which means that I can embed the SRT in the RSS feed, and players that can take advantage of it will show the transcript as the words are at the appropriate times, as those words are being said. And I'm not cleaning that one up quite as much. I'm you know, doing regexes for like our names and a few other things, but those are time-based, so I don't really need to clean those up because the words happen when they happen. But the ones that are just a raw text file, I'm trying to separate them out into paragraphs based on who's talking at the time. I'm not putting names on them. I'm not going to all that amount of time, but it still takes a pretty good amount of time per episode. So even when I get caught up, which is going to take a long, long time, I don't think that transcripts will be available for brand new episodes right away. It's going to be a few days, maybe.
Do you think?
Do I think?
Out of all of our listeners, how many do you think are going to care?
Oh, if they're available right away?
Yeah.
No, no one.
I ask this in all seriousness because there is a podcast that I listen to pretty much every day. I listen to usually every morning. I'll listen to like three, sometimes four newscasts.
Is that the Hot Yoga podcast?
No.
Hmm.
That is not news.
Disappointing.
I'll listen to like three or four news podcasts, and one of them includes show notes and links to all the articles that they cover. Well, most of them usually do. One of them routinely releases them like several hours after the episode.
Uh-huh.
So I listen to the episode, like depends, you know, like usually I'll try to get up and meditate for a little bit before, but sometimes I'm like straight out of bed and I'm really curious and oh, that's an interesting headline. And I get sucked in and I start playing it. And then I'm like, oh, that sounds really interesting. I need to read in, you know, dig into this deeper. And I look and they haven't published show notes yet. It's still yesterday's show notes. So I can't, you know, like find the article, or I have to like, oh my God, so much work. I have to start doing my own research and Googling for this. So I was just curious, though, because I am, you know, a use case, an example here where like, yeah, I would like to have this right now. By the time I hear the episode, I would like to have show notes available, for example.
No, the show notes will be available right now, just like they always are. For every episode, the show notes will be available as soon as I publish it. It's part of the publishing process. The only thing that won't be available immediately is the raw text transcript.
Right. And I got that. I understand there's a difference, but there's also a parallel where I'm saying it's very similar to there's something that's coming along with the episode eventually. Yeah. Is anyone going to care?
A, I don't think so. And B, if they do, they can let me know. But here's the other thing is I don't want to delay an episode just for the transcript. So even if they let me know that, I'll probably say, I'll do the best I can. That'll probably be my answer. Because having transcripts is 100% better than what we had before with respect to transcripts, which was nothing.
Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to offer, out of the generosity and the kindness of my heart and my financial well-being, I will refund 100% of all of our subscribers' dollars to any subscriber who complains about not having the transcripts available at release time when the shows drop. How's that sound?
Peter, you're going to bankrupt us.
No. I'm paying that out. Not going to bankrupt you. I'll do it just myself. Me and the mighty financial backing of Paradigm Consulting Company, LLC. We will back all of that.
This is almost like poor Tesla having to cover the expenses for the car that crashed when the steering wheel came off.
Well, steering wheels really should be optional in a driverless car, don't you think?
Well, it turns out that having the steering wheel held onto the column by nothing more than friction doesn't always work, depending on how the driver, you know, interacts with the steering wheel.
Sounds like a Lego set I used to have when I was a kid.
Uh-huh. Except it wasn't made by... Your Lego set wasn't made by an...
Yeah, well, thank you, because I'm the one who assembled it.
You didn't create the Lego themselves.
But I assembled it.
You didn't pour plastic into little, you know... What do you call those? Die? When you pour them into a shape?
That's a die.
That's a die?
Yep. Die cast Legos, man.
Die, Elon, die! Oh, wait, sorry. Too much?
All right, what else do we have? We didn't actually have pre-approved show notes this time, did we?
No, I did. So here's
Where?
The thing. You gotta...
I looked. I went to Google Docs, and I looked, and I saw nothing.
Oh, did it not put him in the...
I don't know. Oh, there's Friends with Bros. I see that.
Here, see if you can follow that link.
Now I see it. Yep, now I see it.
Nina was right. That's the current name. It can change.
Nina, who's Nina?
I mean, I know she's referring to the balloons. Remember the 99 balloons or the Luft balloons or whatever it is?
Nina.
Red balloons. Nina.
Six 99 is Luft balloons. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, that was when I wanted to talk about the balloons, but that's old news now.
Oh, those balloons. Yes, I got it. Okay. So, Apple reportedly, I'm just reading these short, these are great.
I know.
Apple reportedly working on touchscreen Macs, followed by why Apple will never, ever create a touchscreen Mac.
Right. Well, that was an article from 2020. So, here's the reason why I put these two links in here was because what I don't understand, Peter, you and I are multi-platform users.
Mm-hmm.
We use Linux, although I don't have a Linux computer in my house right now. I certainly have Linux servers. We use Windows, both, because we use Windows for work.
Have to.
Right.
Let's be honest. It's because we have to.
And, part of my job is interesting with Windows, because we use Windows Server for everything, including the operation of our semiconductor test equipment. Basically, we use servers in the place that you would... It's weird. We use Windows servers... And technically, I guess they are serving. It's just that there's so much communication going on between everything that you couldn't do it with a client version of Windows. It has to be a server version. So we help administer those servers. We install those servers. We image those servers. I apply the security patches to those servers, all these different things. So it is kind of interesting, actually. And then we use Macs at home.
Right.
And so I guess maybe I've been eased into the idea of touchscreens. Like, the whole Apple thing has always been, oh, no one will use a touchscreen on a laptop. It's ergonomically incorrect. You'll break your shoulder if you're reaching out to touch your screen all the time. First of all, no one uses touchscreens like that. You use them intermittently. Occasionally, you'll touch something on the screen. They're great for scrolling, all kinds of stuff like that. And
pinching,
what
and zooming.
I don't understand, Mac people cannot get it through their heads that just because Apple at one point said nobody wants a touchscreen vertical surface.
Yep.
But look at the iPad Pro. It sits on a keyboard. And until the trackpad keyboard came along, the only keyboard they sold didn't have anything on it for touching. So that meant that you could only use it by reaching up and touching the iPad screen, which is now basically vertical. Exactly the same as a laptop with a touchscreen. Not a goddamn bit of difference, Peter.
But so... click. So isn't part of this, though, like part of the culture of Apple where, you know, someone decreed some time ago, we will not do that.
Right. We will never have a video iPod.
There's no need for it. Therefore, it will never happen. And it's Apple just has this reluctance to advance.
No. It's not just Apple being reluctant to advance, because Steve Jobs said there was never going to be a video iPod, like the year before there was a video iPod. They say whatever works for marketing.
I was going to say, that's just flat out a lie, because there's no way that Apple would have rushed a video iPod to market within 1 year.
Now, Apple's laptops also do have the best screens. Like, my MacBook Pro has got one of the best screens on any laptop anywhere. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Maybe they couldn't make the screens quite as thin, or maybe they couldn't make them quite as good looking with touch. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's true. I'm saying, who knows?
Right.
If that's the case, then okay, I'm okay with them erring on the side of not putting in a touch screen. But aside from that, there is no reason not to have one. If you don't want to touch it, don't friggin' touch it. It's that simple. 99.9% of the time, I don't touch my PC laptop screen. But every now and then, I do. And guess what? Yeah. Having it be a touch screen doesn't kill me at all. It's not so much about Apple. It's Apple users. Apple users are the biggest status quo people in the universe. They think whatever currently is dogma. Oh my God, you can't change. That is the way it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't. It's just the way it is right now.
Click.
Anyway, what are your thoughts? Since you're not an asshole, what are your thoughts on... Do you care at all about touchscreens on Mac? How much do you use your touchscreen on your PC? Like, are you waiting anxiously for a touchscreen on your Mac?
At present, the only touchscreen I own, the only ones are my iPhone and my Apple Watch.
Okay. But when you had a PC, presumably.
I had Microsoft Surface and a Microsoft Surface Book, and I used...
But you never had a Windows laptop that had a touchscreen?
Surface Book. Surface Book was a laptop.
What is that?
It was a laptop that could... It's the Microsoft Surface with a keyboard. It's basically a laptop with a detachable screen.
Interesting.
So yes, it is a laptop with a touchscreen. The Surface is a tablet for which you can buy a case that doubles as a keyboard. The Surface Book is the same exact thing, but it comes with said keyboard as a unit, and it detaches, and it's a little bigger. Other than that, it's like 99% identical.
But what I'm talking about is most Windows laptops have touchscreens, and I mean regular laptops where it is a full laptop. It is always a laptop. Nothing detaches. Right.
No, the only ones that I've ever had on the Windows side were Surfaces, Surface or a Surface Book. And as, you know, like the biggest thing I use those for is occasionally drawing something or putting my signature on a document.
Yeah.
And that's literally the biggest thing. Or sometimes marking up something when I want to like just circle something and say here, and I don't want to make it look like a second grader did it with a crayon, because that's what it looks like when you use a touchpad or a mouse to try to draw something.
Interacting with your ChatGPT robot lover.
No, I do that with the keyboard. Thank you. Anyway.
But would it bother you if they came out with a touchscreen Mac? Would you be like all up in arms? Great.
No, honestly, here's the thing, and this might be a marketing thing, though. I probably would not buy another iPad anytime soon, because right now, my iPad, I do miss it occasionally, but I gave it to my mom, and hopefully, you know, in the nursing home, they'll use it with her to start drawing so she can start communicating better.
Right.
But other than that, I would use my iPad as a secondary display to my Mac, or to sign documents, or, you know, to consume media or read email and stuff. But there's nothing other than signing documents. There's nothing I can't do on my iPad. There's nothing that I can do on my iPad that I can't do on my laptop, right? I can do everything I can do on the iPad with my laptop, other than easily use a nice big fat touchscreen.
Now that I have a mobile Mac again, I have a laptop Mac, and I do everything on my Mac now that I used to do on my iPad Pro. But the iPad that I'm using, even though it's far from the best iPad, because I gave those to my family members, it still makes a hell of a good book reader. You will never get that on a laptop. I would never use a laptop for that. It also does make way better of a video watcher. Like, not having that keyboard and that hinge there, it's so much better. Now, if you're going to prop it up on the bed and not hold it, you may as well use a laptop for that.
In general, if I'm in bed, I follow a rule that the only thing I'm going to do besides if it involves a screen of some sort, if it involves a screen of some sort, I'm going to be reading a book. And frankly, for those, I usually will use a Kindle. I'll usually use an Amazon Kindle or a physical book, right?
Right.
I have just a few books in iBooks. You know, I've thrown a lot of PDFs in there. But in general, if I'm going to just sit, you know, usually by the time I get to bed, I'm tired. So if I'm going to be reading something, it's not going to be more than a few minutes and I'm going to get tired and just fall asleep. And
then you're going to wake up later with that thing face down in the bed
on my face.
You.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, on my face, right.
Yeah. That's why you don't want an iPad Pro then. Yeah. That would hurt.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are you kidding? Especially the full-on, you know, full-size 12-inch. Yeah, that hurt.
So I don't have a Kindle. And I have used the Kindle app on the iPad in the past, and I got to say, I don't like it at all. I'm sure the Kindle itself is a much better experience, but the Kindle app sucks so bad that I just do everything in books. Apple Books is so much of a better app.
So the reason that I use the Kindle app is I do have a number of things that I purchased on the Amazon store, right? So that comes there.
Sure.
I do like the Kindle. The Kindle, I have like, I think it's an eighth generation Kindle. It's smaller than an iPad mini, but bigger than an iPhone Pro Max, just for comparison, right?
Which is perfect size for reading, yeah.
Decent size. I like the fact that, you know, I don't have to charge it for weeks at a time, so I can just forget about it and still works because it's got the Sony e-ink as opposed to a, you know, a backlit display. And also, it's pretty dumb, you know, as an application, or, you know, it pretty much only does one thing. It reads me my, you know, shows me my content. So
which
I can't,
is nice.
Like, oh, I'll just check email. Oh, I'll surf the web a little bit, you know. So when I want to focus on just reading, it's nice. Hmm.
My problem when I start reading is I don't go online so much as I switch over to my crossword puzzle app, and I switch between my book and my crossword puzzle.
Okay.
And then half the night will be over and I'll realize I've read 5 pages of book, but I've done a bunch of crossword puzzles. And that's not bad. I mean, it's a good way to spend the time, but it is a deviation from the reading that I was planning on doing.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
It's still not as bad as bouncing onto Mastodon and scrolling through what other people are saying for 5 hours and then realizing, you know, oh, you know, which...
Indeed.
I admit, I like cat videos and I like some of the cute animal videos. And so sometimes I'll spend time on Reddit looking at those instead of... Reddit's a hellhole. You have to be careful, but...
Oh, hell yeah. Now, my time reading stuff like that, I just noticed too, sometime along the way, somehow, apparently I enabled notifications on the Reddit app on my phone.
Oh, my God,
which
why?
Which also implies that at some point along the way, I installed the Reddit app on my phone.
Oh, my God, why?
Unclear. So anyway, speaking of displays though and touch screens, let's stay on that loop. I recently purchased a high definition 32-inch display on my desktop.
What do you mean by high definition? Are we talking 5K?
4K?
That's not high definition. I mean, I know PC
it is compared to the other one. Now, if you look in the recording, if you were looking at the video, if you see back there, that's a standard definition ultra wide monitor. There is essentially like two 24-inch monitors bolted together.
That sucks because you could see every pixel on something that big.
Well, I bought it almost 3 years ago. Okay.
No, I understand that, but I was going to send you a link. There is a 5K competitor. There's a good 5K competitor to the studio display that I'm using that recently came out that would be a wonderful pair with your Mac. You should have waited.
And how much does that cost?
Well, a lot less than the studio. Well, I say a lot less. Right. I don't know. I'll find the details for you.
Okay, so I bought the one from Monoprice. And the reason is it was reviewed in Wired. They're like, we love this display. I'm like, okay, let's see what they do. It was $300 and some odd. It was $300 mumble. I honestly don't remember exactly how many it was. And it's pretty darn good. It's not great. There are times if I have a lot of dark colors rendering on the screen, I see some flickering. And I did a little bit of digging to see, like, you know, some people said, check your cable. So I did swap out the cable and it comes back, but it comes back so infrequently that I might not care.
What's the refresh rate on this thing?
60 hertz or 50 if you want to dumb it down.
Don't do that.
But just having, you know, having a high def, super big giant monitor, like, this is awesome. I had that ultra wide, you know, again, for the last, I bought that shortly after I, you know, returned to work for Healthcare 3000. And I thought it was great, except the vertical refresh, the vertical resolution was no better than any of my other monitors. So like anything vertical, it's like scroll city. So I really hated that. Now here, like I can comfortably have a couple of spreadsheets, a video, email, another web browser, a terminal, all on the screen at the same time in nice high resolution and not feel cramped at all. So this is nice.
Yeah, see, I'm so used to 5K. I don't know if I could go down to 4 again. Now, those two monitors behind me, those are my home work monitors, my at home, but for work monitors that I plug my PC into. Those are 1280 or whatever a standard.
Your homework monitors.
My homework, yeah. I do my homework on those. But those are 1280 or whatever, you know. Now, at work, see, this is the weird thing. Monolith 3000, nobody has actual 4K monitors there. There's a couple people, and I wonder where they got them. But, like, there are software developers that have been there a long time, but everybody else has 1280 monitors. Now, I managed to get my boss to buy me, what are they called, UHD? They're in between 4K and HD monitors.
I think ultra high def.
Yeah, so I have two of those on my desk at work. And they look a hell of a lot better than these.
Okay.
But there's still nothing like a 5K or even a 4K.
So we can put it into the show notes. I'll message you this. But I bought the Monoprice 32-inch Crystal Pro monitor, 4K UHD, 60 hertz, 65 watts, USB-C, height-adjustable stand, VA. And the product number is 43020, which is funny because when I look for my speakers, when I want to change my sound output, it's 43020. So it's referred to by its product number all through the documentation and through my system settings, which I think is kind of funny.
Oh, you know what? I think QHD is what those work ones are. QHD, yeah.
QHD.
2560 by 1440.
Okay.
So those are QHD. UHD okay. Is 4K, right?
Ultra HD? Yeah, that's what I have. I have 4HD. Yeah. I have 4K UHD. That's what I have.
Yes. And mine are, the one I have at work is sometimes called 2K monitors.
That's, which is nothing, right?
Well, it's better than the 1280 ones that I have back here that I used to have at work that I brought home once I got the better ones.
So, one of the podcasts that I listen to, so I've recently been unsubscribing from a number of, or unfollowing a number of podcasts.
Don't say that. They're going to unfollow us now.
No, not ours. You can't unfollow ours. That's not allowed.
Okay, gotcha.
Just because I'm like, look, it's been months I have not listened to an episode. Or in some cases, like I've realized I went back and I was like, I haven't listened to any of these. I'm going to unsubscribe. Oh, they stopped releasing episodes like 8 months ago. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Great.
There's a reason I don't listen anymore. Yeah.
There's a reason. Right.
They unlistened me. Yeah.
Right. One of them that I still love, though, and my favorite running podcast, because I still subscribe to a number of running podcasts. My favorite one is called Trail Runner Nation. And they have a number of rotating hosts in addition to guests on the show. And one of them is the guy's AJW, are his initials. I forget his name. But he just released his own podcast. He's started his own podcast now. And the rule is they talk about running and they have a drink. And it's usually a beer. But his rule is the podcast show, the length of the episode will be as long as his drink lasts.
Oh.
And I kind of like that, but I must warn you, I am down to my last sip of my beer, which means we either need to wrap this or I need to get another drink.
I would prefer that you get another drink because, my God, Peter, we've only been going for, it's been 42 minutes. It's up to you. It's up to you. You know what you have in your future.
I just finished 11.2 ounces of 9% Belgian triple, and I can barely stand up.
Yeah, but this is just me, but I would think that the person downstairs in immense pain, who you're helping take care of right now, really would benefit and probably want you to just be so drunk that you can't even get down the stairs, I would think.
What? Here, no? I was thinking you would say would want me to go spend time with her to make sure she's okay and maybe even help cook dinner or something. I don't know.
No, that's just stupid. No, we can wrap it up. I totally agree with you. I don't want you to get any.
I think it's probably the smart thing to do. Let's just put it that way. I mean, literally, my lips are numb.
Uh-huh. They look numb. That's how good you're... Wow. Oh, my God. Peter just...
Yeah. That was to you, dear listener. That was not to Scott. Scott might have intercepted it.
Peter just kissed his own snowball.
No, I kissed you, dear listener. Just you.
Yeah. I don't know how to bring it back up to end on a positive.
You don't know how to follow. I think we should just, you know, just wrap it up and tell folks how to find us.
Here's where we got to move on.
At a certain point, we got to move on.
I think this is that point.
You can find us at friendswithbrews.com. You can find us on the Mastodon at some link or other from friendswithbrews.com. I bet I could find it if I looked.
It is a little harder to tell folks how to find us on Mastodon than it is on Twitter, but it's worth it.
app.net/@friendswithbrews. Or just search at Friends with Brews from whatever site you're on Mastodon and you'll find us.
Yeah. What about you individually?
Oh, I'm app.net@ScottAW.
Wow.
Or @ScottAW@app.net. If you want to... Anyway, whatever.
That's weird. See, I'm at Nicolaitis@infosec.exchange.
Uh-huh. You are at infosec.exchange. You've been exchanging infosecs with people. Wow, that came out wrong. Anyway, if you go to friendswithbrews.com/friends, you will find our Mastodon links. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a
wow.
Yeah, that was a rumor I just started right there, Peter.
Wow.
Okay. Talk about your big red button.
No, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to push it. Big red button.